This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the August 18th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And of course, this is an open forum, as you know. Everyone is welcome. So let me help you shine light on some of the unknowns and maybe make the best possible choices when you invest your money. Now, I try to answer your questions live during the hour, 4-5 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Vanguard has rightly argued for decades that the less you pay for your funds, the more you keep in your pocket. It's that simple. Or is it really that simple? Is there more to consider than just fees? That's our main talking point today. And before we go any further, let's go ahead and check in with our 24-hour listener line calls. It's open for your questions anytime you want to make them.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from Virginia. Thanks so much for the show. I was hoping you could help me out. I've got a portfolio of about 17 individual stocks, a handful of ETFs and whatnot. So I fear that I can't do enough research to warrant having 17 stocks. They're all doing pretty well. With that being said, I may just not be paying attention one day and stuff's going to go down. Anyway, so my question is, how would you recommend that I pare down my holdings of individual stocks? How would you analyze your returns, what have you, to be able to make the best decision on what you should just sell and move into a S&P ETF? Thanks so much. Bye.
Okay, well, you have to make a decision. Do you want to be own a group of individual stocks, or do you want to be, a holder of indexes or ETF indexes? And you can do both, but the fewer stocks you have, the more risk you're taking. Okay, because it narrows it. You become very narrow the fewer stocks you have. Frankly, I think 17 is not that many. I'd like to see you have 30. But you're right, it's very difficult to do the research and do all the work you need to do to make sure that you keep track of those 30 companies. So I tell people that if you don't want to do the work on individual companies, stick with indexing ETFs or sector ETFs. And every once in a while, you can buy one or two stocks as just something you really want to take a flyer at, but just know that you're taking a large risk on those. And even if you're picking a big blue chip stock, there is more risk in just having one or two. There's a lot more risk than having one or two. Okay, look at Teva recently. Remember, it's one of the ones that, I took a beating on, and it got cut in half in 3 or 4 days. And it's a big company, $20 billion market cap. So it can happen. That's why you're narrowing your risk. So if you narrow your risk, make sure you don't put too much money in that one stock or a few stocks because of that risk, Managing money is, I wish it was simple. It's not simple. It's a lot of moving parts that you kind of keep track of. And you're dealing with one major moving part, and that is trying to keep up with 17 different stocks, and you probably don't have the time to do it. If you have a regular life, it's very difficult because you've got to read up on each stock, any all its quarterly earnings reports, any news releases on them. You got to keep up with it. It takes time. Got to keep up with the sectors that they're in and the overall economy. It takes time. Our InvestTalk Premium Newsletter went out today to all our subscribers, as it does every week. It goes out every Friday. I send it out every Friday email. Okay. So let's take a quick look at it. In the current market conditions, there was a couple of important economic releases this week, but of course the stock market sharp downturn yesterday took the headlines. Terrorist attacks in Spain really didn't help. The market was already weakening, but that everybody looks for a catalyst if they want to get out, and that was the catalyst. On the economic front, things look pretty steady. Retail sales were good. Housing starts were good. LEI was good. There was a little weakness in the LEI from the month before, but it's still positive. And there's a little weakness in housing starts, but it was still pretty close. It was healthy. So then there's the stock ideas. I gave a couple of hedging ideas today. In portfolio management section, we talked about analyzing companies and how hard it is to do, just which tied into the recent the caller just a little bit ago. And in the consumer watch, I talked about saving money, ways that you can save it. And that's the news. It goes out every Friday, new one every Friday. So if you have interest in it, I think you'd be, you can obviously give us a call. You can go there, you can get the newsletter for free for 30 days. You don't have to pay for it. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. Is there more to consider than just fees? That's one of our talking points. Also want to talk about today maybe some of the red flags that are flying out there. And I have a really interesting take on the P/E ratio of the Russell 2000. I think it's something that you probably don't realize. And let's talk about the 10 years later after the financial crisis. What have we learned? What has our politicians learned? Have they learned anything? Probably not. An employer's fiduciary responsibilities to their employees concerning the 401ks. Did you know that most of them are breaking the rules? And they are. Market was down today. Dow down 76 points. The NASDAQ down only 5. And the S&P down 4. But that was a follow-on down day from yesterday. I thought we might have got a little bounce during the day because it did turn positive during the day, but toward the end of the day, it just gave it up and was down for the day. Oh, well. We'll see how next week does. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time. And again, the number, 888-99-CHART. You can get through to us right now. So let's talk about your money on Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Joe from New Jersey. Thank you for all you guys do. I just had a question about AmTrust Financial, ticker symbol AFSI, as a potential long-term buy and hold, mostly for the dividend, but also as an ancillary point, the growth prospects seem strong on the company. I know it recently had some financial trouble where it had to shore up some extra reserves and it had to restate 3 years of accounting earnings. That said, the restated earnings were still strong for those 3 years. The payout ratio seems reasonable. They seem to have strong revenue growth and solid fundamentals. If you guys could just give me your perspective of the investment as a long-term buy and hold with an outlook of 10 plus years, I'd really appreciate it. I'll look forward to the answer on the podcast. Have a good day, guys. Bye.
Well, right now it looks like a pretty compelling value stock. AmTrust Financial Services, it's an insurance company, offers workers' compensation, specialty property and casualty, and specialty risk and extended warranty insurance. Growing its sales between around 15% a quarter for the last year. Before that was a little bit more than that for the year before that. The dividend is 5%, and they had to restate the earnings, as you said, so they got beat up because of that. They were trading at $27, and then back in February, March, started falling hard, bottomed in May at around $12, and today it's at $13.70. And it fell recently, probably because of earnings disappointment in recent quarter. But we're looking at a company that's going to make $1.79 in 2018 from $1.42 this year. And at $1.79 and a $13 stock, $13.70, that's a pretty compelling value with that kind of sales growth and that kind of dividend. And it doesn't have a lot of debt. So the mutual funds have been sellers in the last year probably because of this financial problem. But the issue here is, are those problems behind them? And it sounds like, and I haven't done any research, but it sounds like they are. So from a long-term perspective, this might be the time to pick it up. Are you going to wait till it doubles in price and then pick it up? Make sure that everything's fine? That would not be the best thing to do, would it? Plus, if you're going to get that dividend, why not? You know, that's a pretty compelling dividend. Are they going to cut it? Well, they have $3.36 cash flow on a $13 stock, so 5% of 13 is 70 cents. They got plenty, you know, they easily can pay their 5%. Easy. 888-99-CHART, rise of portfolio allocators. Now, the reason why this article is even pertinent is because of the proliferation of ETFs. It used to be really simple to allocate. You have bonds and you have stocks. Those are the two major asset classes that were available. Okay? And it was very easy. You can buy the S&P index, the Dow index. A little more difficult to buy a bond fund because there aren't that many. But today, you have massive amounts of different choices. Before, the index, you could buy an S&P 500 index. Now you got 100 different indexes cut many, many different ways. You have an S&P high dividend index. You have an S&P 500 low price stock. And on, they slice and dice all of these things to so many different ways. It's confusing to you, the investor. And so you're saying, well, wait a minute, I'll just go with the low-fee ones. Well, that's nothing wrong with going with the low-fee ones. And I've told you over and over and over, the Vanguard is one of the lowest. Well, it turns out the Fidelity is competing with Vanguard on fees alone. But it's getting harder for you, the individual investor, to decide where should I go? Because there's so many different asset classes now, as well as different types of indexes. I mean, now you can invest in currency, commodities, precious metals, you know, and different ways in all those things that you can invest in. And you can invest in, you know, ETFs for just preferred stocks. You can invest in ETFs just for short-term corporate bonds, short-term junk corporate bonds, short, long, mid, it's unlimited. So now you're back to, well, what do I pick as an investor? You really are. You're back to, well, what should I be doing? What would be the smart thing to do? So then you're back to where you were. Now you're going to need some help. It's not as simple. You could make it simple. You could keep it simple. You know, you could. Don't want to say you shouldn't keep it simple because you could. But there's so many different choices out there these days. And low cost choices too. But the complication of all those choices is making it difficult. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You know, I've been talking about red flags for, I don't know, couple months now that I've been worrying about. And in the recent weeks, I've been pointing out even more red flags. I can't tell you if the market's going to go down or going to go up or sideways. I can tell you that it will eventually give up the gains. But how much and when, that's impossible. But you can recognize the red flags. And I have some more different red flags. I've talked about certain red flags, but you know, now I got some different red flags, several of them, that I want to bring to your attention. Okay? And it's not to try to scare you out of the market. I really would like you to just to be aware. Be aware of what's going on. I don't like it when people say, oh, the market's going up, and they just look at the S&P or the Dow and think that's the market. It's not. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Don't hold back. You can get in touch. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me. You can do it directly here, right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We're live on Invest Talk. We're going to go talk to Aaron, who's in New York. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I am great, and I really appreciate you calling me from the East Coast. Thank you.
It's always good to talk to you. So I wanted to hear your thoughts about, you know, going to the casino, one spin, everything on black.
Well, you have a 50-50 chance.
I'm just kidding.
I know that.
I wanted to talk to you about retirement accounts, and specifically in IRAs, all of your income, all of your profits, whether it's dividends or capital gains, are taxed as ordinary income. So my question to you is, does it make sense to invest in regulated investment companies that don't have to pay taxes so that you can get a higher yield?
Well, that's a good question, but this is the piece that you're missing is that normally when you're in retirement and you start to take the money out of your IRA or your 401k, your SEP IRA, whatever it is, when you start taking the money out of it, you're in a usually a much lower tax bracket than you are in all the years that you're earning the money. So it's taxed much less. The rate is usually less. That's not always true, of course. But the idea of not putting the money in a retirement account is scary to me because that gives people permission to put it in a non-retirement account, and they tend to spend it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sorry, my question's a little different. What I was saying is that if in a regulated investment company that doesn't pay corporate taxes because they have to pay out 90% of their profits to their shareholders, like a REIT or a closed-end fund or a BDC. So it seems to me that you're skipping the taxation part,
right?
And would it make more sense to invest in those in a tax exempt account, just because you'll be able to,
I guess,
theoretically grow your income quicker?
Yeah, so you won't have to pay your ordinary income tax on the if it's in a retirement account. And I would say that you could favor that. I also favor, I would say yes. In answer to your question, yes. I don't think, though, you want to just load up on just one asset class, REITs or some other class that, you get the corporation pays you high dividends. You have to be really careful because some of the high dividend MLPs, even if you have them in an IRA, you still have to pay taxes on them. Some of them are foreign investments, you have to pay tax. So you got to be careful. But yeah, I'm going to answer the question with a firm yes, it does make sense. If you have an account outside a 401k and one inside, an IRA and one inside an IRA, it might make sense to put certain assets in the IRA that are more tax advantaged than in a non-IRA. So the answer would be yes, Aaron, but you got to be careful what you're doing. You got to just make sure you understand what's happening and tax-wise. And, of course, hopefully they won't change the tax code by the time you retire anyways. Aaron, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Good question. Okay, let's go to Mississippi. I don't think I've gone to Mississippi before. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. I think you misunderstood my name, Keith.
Oh, I'm sorry. They wrote down Steve here. I'm sorry, Keith.
Yeah, no problem. I have a question about NS.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I bought it. It's a limited partnership, the way I understand it. I bought it for the dividend it was paying. But the stock is dropping quite a bit.
Yeah, it doesn't help a lot.
Hang in or break and run.
This is one of the dangers. People love they love these MLPs because they have those huge dividends, but the dividend doesn't do you a lot of good if they pay you 10% dividend, but the stock goes down 20%. Yeah, that doesn't help you very much. It's still net down. And this is NuStar Energy, NS. An MLP, Master Limited Partner, engaged in the terminaling and storage of petroleum products and the transportation of petroleum products. And this is where a lot of the MLPs are, this area of the market. And this is a company that's doing, it's going to make $1.30 this year after making $1.27 last year. And then they're going to make $1.91 next year. But their sales are pretty erratic, as far as growth and shrinkage. I mean, recently their sales went down 1%, but the quarter before, sales grew at 20%. So, obviously they were very disappointed, and the stock got hit, went down. I mean, just a month ago it was at $46, and here it is today at $38. And that's a big move for an MLP. It's usually pretty steady. And the reason why it is falling because it's kind of pricey. It's a $38 stock, only going to make $1.91 next year. So we're talking about a 20 PE, okay, for a company that's not really growing sales. That's kind of pricey for this kind of thing. And the reason why it's pricey is everybody loves that dividend. It's 11% dividend. Now, the question is, can they pay 11% dividend on, that's like $4, and they're only making $1.91. How are they going to do that? They're going to cut the dividend. That's what it means. Appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley from KPP Financial. And if you'd like to hear our program during your noontime jog at work or while you're working in the garage, you can hear our podcast anytime you want. To sign up, to receive every day, just go to iTunes and type in Invest Talk. Give me a call.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP Financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. And now let's get back to Invest Talk. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your money question. Is there a way to get outside help managing my 401k? And when do I roll it over after changing jobs? Our direct line, 888-99-CHART. It's open for your question right now.
888-992-4278. Okay, some more red flags. You know, I've been talking about them, and I'm just concerned. I don't think we're going to have a bear market. I don't, not yet anyways, you know, because, you know, the economy is too strong. But a correction is fully, way overdue and fully within the realm of reality. But so I want to tell you why it appears that we might be pretty close to one. And I will give you some more ammunition. First of all, volatility has picked up. Have you noticed the volatility index? Take a look at it. Take a look at a chart. Go to StarCharts.com, type in $VIX, $VIX, and note the volatility in recent times. I brought up the Dow theory not that long ago. Transportation index has been falling for some time. Well, long before the Dow, as the Dow started to make new highs, it was falling. Well, now the Dow is starting to roll over. We'll see. Maybe it's short term. Have you noticed that gold is rallying? Gold rallies when the stocks don't many times. Also rallies when the dollar's weak, and there's other reasons too. Not always the same. And there's also something that's pretty unusual. The DAX, you know what the DAX is? DAX versus the Dow. They're diverging. DAX is the German stock market. It's going up. There's diverging. They're going up on while the Dow is going down, or they go down while the Dow goes up. That's divergence, and that's what we're seeing. We talked about the breadth of the market. It's very, very narrow. And, of course, you got the unknowns of the Trump presidency. That's always a problem. It seems to be something new every week. But there's one other thing that I think we should talk about is the Russell 2000. That's an index of 2,000 stocks. If you ask Russell, they say that the index, the P.E. ratio of that index is about 19, 20. And if you're looking backward, it's 25. If you look forward, it's 19 or 20. When in actuality, the index P.E. ratio is 78. Now, how is that possible? First of all, to let you know, the real P.E. ratio of the Russell 2000, 78. In December of 1999, just before the dot-com crash, it was 55. In the December of, and in 2007, the year before the financial crisis, it was 60. Today it's 78. Now why, if you ask Russell, they're not lying, by the way. They're telling the absolute truth that their P.E. is 1920. 25 if you look backward, 19 if you look forward. They're telling the absolute truth, but you got to read the little fine print. They don't count a third of the 2,000 stocks. They don't use them in calculating the P.E. ratio for the Russell 2000. A third. Any company in the Russell 2000 that doesn't make money, they don't count it. They're not. It's not computed in the P.E. ratio. That makes no sense if you think about it for a few minutes. Wait a minute. If we're talking about the P.E. ratio of the Russell 2000, don't you got to count all 2,000 stocks? Because there's no P.E. ratio for stocks that have no E, right? So that's why they say, well, we don't count that. Well, that means you're just picking the good ones in your index to figure out the P.E. ratio of the entire index. Just saying, that makes no sense to me. Does it make any sense to you? Am I off here? I don't know. If you counted those stocks that didn't make money and calculate that into the P.E. ratio, they remember, they have no E, but the rest of the companies do. The P.E. ratio is 78. And the worries part is not that it's 78, but it's much higher than it was in December 99, just before the dot-com crash, and much higher than 2007, before the financial crisis. Doesn't that worry some people? Should it be a concern? Maybe I'm putting too much weight in it. Maybe I'm worried too much. Let's try to answer one more question. Let's go to something more pleasant. Of course, you can call anytime on our listener line. 888-99-CHART. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here's a call that came in earlier.
Hey, Steve or Justin, it's Michael Collin from Tampa, Florida. I was just wondering your thoughts on BTI, British American Tobacco. It's at its 52-week low. Its dividends are pretty strong. Recent legislation last month, that hurt a lot of the tobacco companies. I'm not really worried about it. Tobacco companies, they're genius as far as, keeping their products alive and rebranding it in different ways. I was just wondering your thoughts on, let's say, a 1 to 2 year position. Now that it's at its 52-week low, what do you think? If you could just tell me, that'd be great. All right. I will look forward to listening on the show. Thanks a lot.
Well, it should be coming into support. It broke the 200-day moving average 2 days ago, and it's selling for $60.80. That 200-day moving average is $62.16. And there's a lot of support right where it is. There's more support down in the low 50s as well. It's still falling. This could be where the support is. I think you need to wait for it to recover. You need to let it, not completely, just these turn sideways, start to move up. Your odds would be better picking it up then. Because, I'm sure you heard us say, don't try to catch a falling knife. You're going to get cut. And a falling stock is like a falling knife. Don't try to catch it. Wait till it stops falling. Wait till it hits the ground. Stay calm. Then you can pick it up. So don't be in a rush. BTI, everybody, that is a UK-based manufacturer of tobacco products. They're going to make $3.49 this year. That's up 10% from last year. Then $4.21 next year. So the sales are growing about 10-12% per quarter in the recent 2 or 3 quarters. And it's a pretty decent price with a 3.7% dividend. And return on equity is huge at 68%. So financially, the company's very healthy. But, of course, the tobacco industry, everybody loves to attack them because it's pretty, you can't defend them. So governments everywhere likes to attack them. And the way they attack them is try to tax them to death so that, that instead of if they were so righteous about tobacco. And by the way, I hate tobacco smoking myself. But I think it's totally unfair that governments pick on them. If they think it's such a bad thing, which it is, then why don't they outlaw it? Instead, they just try to tax them out of existence. And what that does, it causes the poorest members of our society to pay the most taxes. They're the ones that can't afford it, because a lot of poor people do smoke. You know, so I think it's unfair being, 50% plus tax rate. You know, maybe if they took that money and maybe used it to pay hospital costs for poor people, all right, but that's not what they do. Anyways, I just don't like that the industry is tough because of that mentality against the industry. So it's difficult to know exactly what's going to happen. There's all kinds of laws coming about, attacking them all the time. When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions that you have to make about your home. Do you sell it? Do you fix it up? Do you downsize? What do you do? Well, you do have a source. You can call us. Justin Klein is a licensed real estate consultant. He'll talk to you about it. I'll talk to you about it. We'll both talk to you about it, but he's licensed. I'm not. I just have some experience in that area. Just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Justin, and ask him the question. He'll get right back to you.
The successful investor is not perfect, but is an independent thinker who pursues information and truth without bias and never stops learning. Asking questions is always part of the process. Make a call right now with your question for Steve. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I just heard Steve mention currently he's kind of holding cash at this point in time rather than investing in the market aggressively and just kind of waiting to see what to do as far as stocks go. I am not a stock investor. I'm just strictly a mutual fund investor, mostly in our retirement accounts. And I was wondering, is that an approach to take as well with mutual funds? Or do you advocate just consistently making investments in those mutual funds despite what happens in the market? So is now, a time to hold cash as far as mutual funds go? Or are mutual funds safe since they are controlled by their investment managers? Thank you.
Hey, we're not fully in cash. We have a pretty big cash position in our stock managed accounts. And in our balanced income account, it's always 50% or so in bonds, laddered bond investment on the for half the account. So I'm not fully in cash, but I like that. We do have a lot of cash right now because I want the ammunition to fire at the market. In answer to your question, the answer is no. Most people should not try to get in and out of the market. It's very difficult to time the market, and I'm really not trying to time the market. I've just sold things that reached value, and I just didn't necessarily reinvest the money yet. So for the average person that's investing over a long period of time, I would suggest you ignore the noise of corrections. Corrections can be painful. But if you got a lot of time and you're not needing the money and not in retirement or approaching retirement, then I would just continue to invest. Just continue to invest. You just be fully prepared that you're going to deal with those corrections, and don't worry about them as long as you have a long-term horizon. My answer is a little bit different if I'm concerned about a recession coming. In that case, I would say, just don't put new money into the market. Let's hold off, if we have a recession. But I don't think we have a recession coming. I just think the market's overvalued, and I think it's overdue for a correction. That's it. So for most people, no, just stay in the market. Don't worry about it. Okay. For a professional like myself, I like to produce some cash to fire at the market when we get that correction, once it occurs. That's my hope. Okay. Appreciate the call, though. Thank you very much. 10 years after the financial crisis, have we learned anything? Has any lessons been learned, especially of our government officials? Why do I even say that? Well, because we're still drunk on easy money. You know, with the Federal Reserve, they have a $4.5 trillion balance sheet. Interest rates are still very low, and we're relying on those low interest rates for economic health growth. Is that a smart thing to do? We still have a lot of liquidity. We still use a lot of leverage. We really haven't got out of those things, and we haven't really invested in anything in the infrastructure yet. They're talking about it, but we're talking 10 years later. 10 years after the financial crisis, we are still not in building bridges and improving roadways and making new power plants or whatever it is that we need. And we're certainly not taking advantage of technology. Now, I'm going to give you an analogy. In the 1950s, Eisenhower decided to build the interstate highway system in the United States. Do you remember that? Well, us old people might remember it. Okay, what did that do? That brought a boom, a huge boom for decades to our economy because we knitted all the states together. Shouldn't we be doing the same kind of thing with the internet? Shouldn't we have super high-speed internet everywhere instead of what we're dealing with? Wouldn't that spur a lot of economic activity? Just thinking, just suggesting. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't think we've learned, I really learned a lesson that was trying to be taught during the financial crisis. We're relying on financial instruments for growth in our economy. We really shouldn't be. Not this 10 years later, that's for sure. And maybe, since we didn't invest in infrastructure improvements and things that we need to get done, since we did not invest that, maybe that's one of the reasons why we have subpar GDP growth. Did you ever think of that? It's possible. Just some thoughts. 888-99-CHARGE is our number, 888-992-4278. Essentially, a fiduciary is a person or organization that owes to another the duty of good faith and trust. That's what a fiduciary is. You owe a duty to somebody else, good faith and trust. And the highest legal duty of one party to another, it is also involves being bound ethically to act in the other's best interest. A fiduciary might be responsible for general well-being, but often involves finances, managing the assets of another person or of a group of people. For example, money managers, bankers, accountants, executives, board members, corporate officers, they can all be fiduciaries. You know who is another fiduciary? How about a fiduciary of your 401k plan? That's your employer. Now, you can see the definition on Investopedia. You know how I like Investopedia, right? So go to Investopedia.com. You can see the definition. You're listening to InvestDoc, and we're listening to you 24 hours a day. You can ask any question anytime, and we can talk together live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. We'll try to answer your question next at 888-99-CHARGE.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'd like you to give a review and your thoughts on Lynette Company, symbol LCI. I'm in the same tank as with Teva. I do want to thank you, though, for beating into my head the 3 to 4% holdings rule, and that makes it tolerable, but just barely. Anyway, hopefully it's too late to sell, of course, I think. I'd like your input, though. Thank you so much. I'm over here in Arizona waiting to hear on the radio. Bye.
And that's pretty astute to realize that's what it does. See, it takes away, when you only buy 3% of a position, it takes away the emotional reaction to what's going on with that position. Because you know it's not going to kill you. It hurts. It's painful. But you know if you had 20% of one stock and it went down half, that kills your whole portfolio, and you can't handle it. Most people can't. I couldn't handle it. So that's why you buy only a small percentage. That's why you utilize risk control techniques, and that's one of the ways you can control risk is not buying more than about 3% of any one stock. Let's talk about Lannett Company. It is a generic drug maker. They're small. It's a very small company, $582 million, so it's not very big. It's a $15 stock. And they make, thyroid medicine, migraines, epilepsy medicine, glaucoma, medicine for glaucoma, those kinds of things. They're going to make $3.11 this year. The problem is they made $3.42 last year, and they made $4.12 a year before that. And so this year is $3.11. Next year is $2.81. So earnings are going down. Sales are still going up, but earnings are going down. So why? Why? Well, maybe it looks like they have a good amount of debt, but what are they spending the money on? Probably, trying to get drugs approved and all the costs. It takes a lot of money to get a drug approved, and then there's no guarantee it's going to work. So anyways, based on their $2.81 next year earnings and a $15 stock, the stock is selling for around 10 PE. And the five-year average is 5.38. Return on equity is very high at 25%. They have very good cash flow. I think you're right. You're probably too late. You probably just want to hold on to it. It looks like it's trying to find a bottom here. I'm worried that if the market corrects more, it may drag it down. But this stock was up 3.6% today, and it looks like it's trying to hold this position. So I probably would just hold on to it at this stage because the fundamentals look strong even with the bad news. I find it interesting that insiders are buying, and they were buying it when it was a $50 stock, and they bought more when it was $18 in January to June of 2016, and they were buying more just in March. So insiders have faith in this company. Management owns 6%. Okay, and that symbol is LCI, Lannett Company, Inc., LCI. Okay, I got one more talking point. Let's talk about that if we can before we run out of time. I think we're getting close to running out of time. The fiduciary responsibilities of an employer to its employees' 401k plan. The U.S. Department of Labor hired 1,000 more employees just to audit 401k plans. And so far, they found three-quarters of the 401k plans are being illegally managed. Three-quarters. You might well fall into one if you're an employer. Why? They said because employers are not taking consideration certain types of compensation pay, like, sick pay, vacation pay, all that goes to income, and if you're matching, a certain percentage of their income, you're undermatching. That's the biggest problem they saw. Be careful, everybody. Time's up for the hour. The next date on my checkup calendar is August 23rd. I'll be in San Jose all day on the 23rd of August. To reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Portfolio Review. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody, the whole KPP family, thanks for being with us today. And let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.